Amen. Thank you very much, ladies. Please take your Bible, turn to Psalm 67, 67th Psalm. The Bible says, to the chief musician on Neginoth, a psalm or song. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God that teaches us and helps us to understand some of the things even that we may do just because we desire to praise you, and even things we say or the reason that we gather. And God, I'm thankful that the scripture is full of helping us to understand why we do what we do or why we should continue to do it. And so I pray today that you would be glorified, lifted up, and honored, and praised above every name. And God, that men would be drawn to you. If there's anyone here who's never accepted you, I pray today they would see their need, as has already been prayed, and today would be the day that they would accept you. Give me unction and understanding, Lord, knowing that without you, these things would be impossible to know or even learn. And so I pray that you would use me as your vessel. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The title of this psalm is common, as we have learned about it in other places. And it gives us a general idea, as the other psalms that were on Neginoth, that it has something to do with generally being generally associated with the way something is voiced, or the type of, or the way that it's presented. And so in this specific psalm, there's not a writer that has been named, although we can certainly see the overtones, at least of David's influence on it. But it's a psalm that's based upon a blessing that was placed upon the children of Israel in Numbers chapter number 6. So if you'll just turn there real quickly, we'll use this. Leave your finger in Psalms. We're not going to, just going to read this and make a couple of comments in Numbers chapter 6. So we can kind of get an idea of what is trying to be accomplished here. So in the psalm, we see several times it says to praise. But also in this psalm, we're given the reason to praise. And that reasoning is found in the blessing that God gave to Moses to give to Aaron. It starts in verse number 22 of Numbers chapter number 6. And this is the reason you should read your Bible through, because you might think Numbers is boring, but then it has these things in it where you're going, oh, well, now I understand a little bit more. So the law has been given, the number of the people has been given, and some of the laws have been, if you will, fleshed out, and God's being more specific. And then he says to Moses in verse number 22, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. And let me just kind of say here, this is not a overall prayer that everybody gets to pray, and this is the way that God, this is a prayer that's directed specifically to Israel, and in general is explained in the psalm we're going to look at, but specifically in Numbers, you see the reason why God gave them this blessing. It is the last verse. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So the idea given to us in Numbers about this prayer is that the stating of this prayer, and I've heard people in religions use it quite often, religious services use it quite often. I've even heard congregations quote it together, and that's the way that God intends it. Well, we can, if you want the interpretation, it's specifically to Israel. It's a blessing given to Israel. It is not a blessing given to the world, because Numbers has nothing to do with the Gentile nations at that point. It has not. There's nothing there that's going to speak to the Gentile nations. Nothing. Here in the psalm, we have a little bit broader view of what God's desire is for praise. But here in this blessing, the blessing is to show one thing, that God's name is on those people. And they are not receiving blessings from false gods. They're receiving blessings from the one true living God. You can't take it any other way than that. There's not any other interpretation. God says, I want my name to be on them. So they, when they go into the land and they're obeying the law and they're doing what I've laid out before them and they're worshiping me properly, when all of those things are transpiring and the blessings come, I want everyone around them to see that I have blessed them. So this psalm takes that thought and it kind of shifts now why to this thing, why would we praise God for the blessings? So the idea is, what is praise all about? So up to this point, we've talked about praise and we've looked at different angles of praise, and we're going to continue to do that because a lot of that is, much of it is in the Psalms. It's where they sang, it's what they did, it's what we're called to do as believers, as followers of God, as those who are followers of God. We're called to praise Him so that people will know there's a difference between God and chance, or God and the blessings of the world, or God and the blessings of Satan, because Satan too will bless you to get you to follow him. So there's something laid out here that's different. It's to teach us, why do we do what we do? Now, I'm just going to say this once, and I'm just saying, some people have problems with praise. They're kind of one way and the other. There are those who believe that praise should be limited to, you know, somberness and straight-facedness, and people should be very serious about their praise. Other people on the other side of it, let's go to the other end of the spectrum, are gyrators. And that's how they praise. I'll just submit to you that both of those ways are not they're not right. Because everything that we do in praise has to do with this, and what we know praise is for. So, for instance, I'll use the choir or anybody who sings a solo. It's awesome and a blessing for you to say to that person, thank you very much. Not inappropriate, but becomes almost a competition if you start clapping for them. And there are certain cases where that's fine to do, so that's not what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about when someone voices praise, like song is praise. It's a testimony. I'm praising God. So the only thing he bought was me. That's a praise. That's thanking God. Now, whether you like the song or not, that's what the song is about. It's not about the person. It's about what God did in purchasing their salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ. And anyone who gets up, we're very careful to make sure that the songs speak of God And there are some people who think if God's name's not mentioned in the first three words, then it's not praise. I mean, they are that serious about it. I'm not kidding. You can't give a testimony without, if you don't say Jesus' name four times, it's not really a testimony. So praise is not this thing we just do. There's a reason for it. And the reason is found in these verses right away in the verse. So it says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. And then it says, Selah. Now we know from the word Selah being used so many times in this particular psalm that it certainly is pointing to a time when God will rule and reign and bless men. But that God currently does it at this time as well. So the blessing that's upon Israel is for a purpose, and it here's the purpose right here. It's given really early in the psalm, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. So the reason that we praise, or that we're giving praise, is so that people will know that it is God that has blessed us, and not we have done something that either deserves it, or that we can lift ourselves up with. That's why the Bible says, no one is going to glory in the presence of God. Why? Well, no one is going to be in heaven on their own accord. They didn't work their way there. There will be no man in heaven worthy of praise. No angel worthy of praise. Nothing, in fact, in this world is worthy of praise except God. He is the object, he is the intended object, he is the reason praise was designed, and we who get caught up in being praised are really robbing God of what he deserves. So you might hear people say, well, I just don't get enough recognition. Really, do you want to be recognized? If I said the government is recognizing you, would you be happy about that? Guess what? The government called me and they're recognizing you. They're saying they're here to help. Yikes! No! Isn't it amazing, though, in church, how people start vying for praise? Well, there's a reason why you would do that. It's because you think you deserve it. When, in fact, God is the only one who deserves it. Why does he deserve it? Well, we've been through that because he's God, because of what he's done, because of what he can do, just because he's God. And there is none else. But ultimately, it's for this, that thy way may be known upon earth. Now, this blessing for Israel, directed to Israel, because it speaks of our own God, so the God that belongs, and they belong to him, to Israel. You can also take this and say, there was a purpose for praise and that blessing for Israel to show forth that God was the one doing the blessing and that God was the only one worthy of praise. So every time they fell down and worshiped an idol and gave honor to that idol and prayed to that idol, they simply were showing to the world that we're just like everybody else. We actually earned this from our idol, and the idol deserves praise for what we've received as blessings. And when you read the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, and you see the children of Israel going back and forth, back and forth, what God is robbed of every time they go to false gods is this idea that his name is the only name and his way is the only way that is known on the earth. In other words, and we went through this in one of the Psalms, that God is an alternative. What praise is supposed to do is show that God is the only one who deserves praise at all, because only God can do what God can do. So there's in this, there are three groups of people, or three ways that God is praised, that people see that. First of all, individuals praise God. So the question would be, so I guess I can come to church and I don't really have to sing if I don't want to. Well, you know, you can say this, I praise God in my heart, but that's never the way the word praise is designed in the Bible. or described. Well, I'm praising in my heart. Well, that's not what the Bible says. It's a vocal, you're vocally speaking. You're vocally saying, I want to thank God. God did this. God's been merciful. God's done this. Sometimes that's done in song. That's why the Bible says, make a joyful noise. God doesn't expect it to be perfect. He expects it to be from the heart perfect. Directed at Him personally. In order for a church to praise or a nation to praise, people have to decide to praise. So the Bible says in verse number 3, let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. So he's speaking when he uses the people and then all of the people. It's as if he's waving like this, but then also the application is like this. All the people. Let all the people. Why? So that His way can be known and His saving health among the nations is known. Why? We're not here praising a man. We're not praising, look, I mean, I don't take this any way, but we're not praising a Bible. We're praising the God of the Bible. There's a right way to do it. So don't get, some of you are like, no. We're not here to praise any person. Now this doesn't mean don't give honor to whom honor is due. That is not what this is talking about. So now some of you are going to go, well, I guess we should never recognize any person. No. The praise that he's talking about is praise that only God is worthy of. Praise that God designed that he is worthy of. It. The fact that Temple Baptist Church is here all these years after Brother Hester started it. You know who gets the praise for that? Not Brother Hester. Not any man in between. God only. The fact that we have a choir, thank God. Praise God. The fact that we have people that are gifted to play instruments. Hey, not every church does. Praise God. Thank God. Why? Because God is the one doing it. You're here because the Bible says that every person that's in the body as a member was placed in the body in particular by God. With a purpose to praise God, honor God, serve God in this place. Every individual is not here by their design or goodness, but only by God's grace. That's how people know. Oh, you go to that church that believes the Bible. Yes, I want to thank God that we actually still believe the Bible. Yeah, I'll say that. Oh, you guys take it literally. Yeah, because words mean things. Still in English, believe it or not. People say, I didn't mean it that way, but once it's out, it's out. God is worthy. Every person is responsible for the praise. Every person. That means you have to be somewhere where the praise is going on. Why this is not okay is because this draws attention to what? I mean, you're looking at me right now like he's doing the windshield wiper. Awesome. People get up there. I've seen them. They're dancing. Typically, they're dressed inappropriately. Typically, I'm not saying every time. So don't get all. Well, calm down. If praise draws attention to anyone but God, it's not meeting the purpose it was designed for, and that is that His way may be known upon the earth. In other words, when I praise God, it should draw such attention to God that people say, wow, something's happened in that person's life. God has done something. Now, let me just say, not all people praise the same way. So I'm not saying some people, you know, they just smile, and some people praise God by crying while songs are being sung. I mean, you've seen it, I've seen it. Song gets a hold of your heart, you're crying. Inside, you're just thanking God. Some people start praising God and they start laughing and they get happy. Others start praising God and they start weeping. It's what does your heart desire for the praise? It should be every person's desire that the praise shows forth thy way, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. The next group here says in verse number 4, "O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah." This would be corporate praise. So when the people who are individually praising God are excited and they understand about the reason to praise God, when they come together as a nation or they come together as a church or they come together as a people, they're busy praising God. Now watch this. Watch. Is it the case that, should it ever be the case that while you're together with another Christian, that your conversation detracts from God? Or from his church? Or from his plan? You go, what are you talking about? Thank you for asking. Should two Christians be anywhere talking about somebody else in the church so that people in the community can hear it? Should two Christians be anywhere talking about anything together that would distract or detract from the glory and the praise of God about another person or another thing going on in the church? You think maybe that's why gossip and controlling the tongue was such a big deal in the New Testament? Hey, come on, don't go to sleep on me here. This is where we all start closing our eyes and say, I'm glad he's talking to so-and-so. Watch, when you do that, you hurt corporate praise. Now we have infighting. Now we got this person's heard this and this person. And we all have excuses for doing it, but we never consider, wait, is what I am doing so that God's way is known upon the earth and that his saving health is known among all the nations? Or am I distracting from that purpose? Oh, Brother Ron, now you're just saying we can't disagree. That is not what I said, but I'm saying there's a proper time and place and way according to the Bible to deal with that stuff that would ultimately give praise to God, because God's plan was to gain a brother or to reconcile people. That's God's plan, not to shoot him in the head. That's the world's plan. The world's plan is dump them. God's plan is restoration. How are the nations going to know that? How is the world going to know that if we're too busy, according to James, devouring ourselves with our tongues? Corporate praise is based on personal practice. When the person practices praise properly, wow. Person practice praise properly. I did not mean to do that, but I'll do it again. Anyway, when I'll forget it. When that person has this, the mindset that all nations should know this, then my motivation in my speech is different, because I don't want that to harm my praise, the corporate praise with me and a brother or sister in the church. And you need to know that the people out there judge this church on your and my conversations, on your and my responses to things that are difficult. They know. Well, that's why I don't go to church. Well, that's kind of weak. Because it means it takes a little bit of effort. None of us were born to be an island. God did not design us that way. He designed us for fellowship. But our fellowship better be based in this idea that at the end of it, God should be praised. And everyone who sees anything going on should see that his way is known upon the earth and that his saving health is among the nations. Wouldn't you rather that they desire, when they look inside Temple Baptist Church, that they see the saving grace of God rather than the disgruntled strife with others. So when a person properly practices praise, it lends itself to corporate praise because, hey, I can't look across the room and say, I know what that person said about me. I know what Brother Joel said. That's why he's leaving the church. He's mad. He is. He's leaving tomorrow. In fact, he's so mad, he's going far away. If you want to go see him, fly. Do not drive. You could, when people leave, they say stuff. You know why? Because either your personal practices that you want to focus and show God to everyone, or you want to show yourself and what you've, what's disappointed you, why you're not being ministered to. What do you want people to see? The reason for praise is not to draw attention to any person in the body, and it certainly is not for us to be infighting. It is so that when we come together in here, there's one mind, and the one mind is we're going to praise God. We're going to worship God. We're going to thank God. Why? Because He alone is worthy, and He's the one who should be reflected in our praise. And then, let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. Verse number 5 has to do with not now, not just the corporate people, the corporate group of people who praise personally, but now it's the entire world. Why? Because the goal that we've had in praising has revealed the way of God and the health, His saving health, and the fact that He is one to be desired and His way is the one to be followed. And they're following Him is always the right way, because when He blesses, we immediately praise. Do you know if you don't immediately praise God when He blesses, you'll forget? How often have we sat down and ate food? Don't tell Twilight I said that. How many times have we sat down to eat food and we are eating? You go, oh, I didn't pray. So you're not thankful? Well, I am, but does it matter? At the cost of eggs, yes, it matters. You need to thank God you can afford eggs. You need to be thankful. God provided that. It doesn't matter whether you own your own business or you are working for someone. God provided that through someone else. Why? Because He had a plan to take care of you. It's important that our children grow up seeing us pray and be thankful. Why? Because that praise reflects on Him. Isn't it sad that children grow up and they're so disgruntled with the church by the time they get to a certain age that they want nothing to do with it? Have you ever considered what your praise was toward God? Look, you go to church with human beings that are, guess what? Sinners. Wicked sinners. Some seem more wicked than others, but actually we're all equal wicked. None of us can get to God. Isn't it a bummer when we would say something in front of our kids that would get them thinking, they're not praising God? You know, if someone comes to church consistently and they begin to change, not everybody sees that immediately, but if they keep coming consistently, something's going to happen. God's going to reveal Himself to them, in them, and it's going to be revealed. It can't be hidden forever. Why not say, you know what? God's doing His business. These things are being revealed. Why? So the people can see the power of God. The whole earth should praise God. And the fact is, during the millennial, they will praise God. There will be no options. None. There are plenty now, but I'm going to go to the lake and that's where I'll praise God. None of that business. It's going to be very rigid as it was here in the time they were supposed to appear before God 3 times a year. It's in the law. You know the first thing that started going when they started worshiping false gods? You know what happened when they started setting up high places? They started giving praise to God wherever they felt like doing it. And then suddenly you've got Jeroboam doing things exactly the way that he wants to do them when he splits the kingdom as God said that he would. The Bible says he devised the religion in his own heart. And I'm telling you, if you and I don't praise God properly, if we don't consider that his way should be known upon the earth and that his saving health should be known among the nations, we're not working in his plan to reveal himself to the earth so that the earth will praise him. I mean, look around you here at this group of people. Not just the people sitting near you, but people you don't really know. People you would probably not be in church with if you were the one choosing. Well, I chose. I'm here today because I chose. That's great. But let's ask how your mind got to the point where you decided it was right to choose today during the coldest, you know, one of the coldest days we've had during church. Why is today the right day? Why are you here? If you're here for any other reason other than to praise God and so that all the earth will see him and then all the earth will praise him, you're not working towards God's plan of revealing himself to all of the nations, which is God's plan because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now think about this. If you don't do personal evangelism, you don't personally read your Bible, you don't personally pray, and you don't personally witness, chances are you're not going to come here and personally be involved in doing that. And then in doing that, then you're not going to be personally involved in making sure that all nations know that ultimately they will bow down before God. And it is a fact. Read your Bible. That's the end result of the world seeing Jesus on the throne in Jerusalem. It has nothing to do with anything other than Satan wanted to be ruler, Satan wanted to be praised, Satan wanted to be God, and it ultimately is going to end up with Jesus Christ sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, and that will be the last kingdom on the earth. And when they rise up, here's what's going to happen. Boom! The earth is done. The world is done. Time is done. And all people will bow down then, but not all people will go to heaven then. The idea is getting the message out that God can do this now. His way is now. His saving health is now. So that the whole earth will come to agreement with that. It actually puts the responsibility on the person who should be praising. Why? Because God's done all he needs to do to get people to praise him. He created the heavens and the earth. Isn't it amazing an asteroid's going to pass close to the earth? In their estimation, super close. They talk about, you know, I think it's bigger, a little bigger than the state of Colorado. If it hit the earth, this is what it would do. But this is just one of the closest things. And so could we do anything to just, well, we've done some computer things, and we think that if we launched this, that... Do you think if God wanted an asteroid to hit the earth, that anything man could do would stop it? Don't you think that probably since that's the case, that we ought to be the force right now that would praise God and lift him up and get rid of our pettiness and be focused on praise so that we could let the whole earth see his way is the right way and that his salvation is the right way? All the earth is going to praise him. That's why the Bible says that even our, then shall the earth yield her increase. The earth will yield her increase during the millennial reign. We've read it. We've looked at it on Wednesday nights in Zechariah. We're going to look at it one more last time in Zechariah. Revelation speaks of it. Ezekiel speaks of it. Isaiah speaks of it. It is coming. When all people finally do bow down and worship him, the earth will do something that it was meant to do all along because God designed it to do that, take care of man. And God will do that. And he'll do it just to prove who he is. All people will, at that point, see him. They'll bless him. But they're only going to be able to assign it to him. The ultimate reason we praise is so that thy way may be known upon the earth and thy saving health among all nations, so that when something happens, there's no one else to give praise to but God. When souls are saved, it's God only. Did we get to be involved? Thank God we did. Well, you're just trying to get all kinds of people to go to heaven so you can get brownie points or stars or whatever. No. The reason is because that's God's plan. The last verse says this, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Right there at verse number 6, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all of the ends of the earth shall fear him. So if they don't end up praising him, they should at least fear him because of our praise. Seeing his awesomeness. The fact that God is creator doesn't scare people anymore. They don't believe it. They found an alternative. The reason that God is not the supplier is because we have found an alternative. So when something good happens, instead of praising God, we praise our thinking, our wits, our timing. We think of how we took care of it. Because quite honestly, we have become the alternative to praising God. Even when there's a leader in the church or a leader in America that does something well, when's the last time you got down and just thanked God that he placed that person there? Because God did it. And God's the only one who can undo it. We've adopted many alternatives to praise. I praise the Republican Party. I praise this person in the Republican Party. I praise this person who was president. I praise this person. I praise this person. Wait a minute. Who causes kingdoms to rise and fall? Only God. You know, be as angry as you want, but we have the president we have because we found alternatives and solutions. Do you know one day the whole earth is going to see that God, all alone and all along, was the only alternative? Shouldn't we know that now? Is God your God? I mean, your own God. Do you belong to him? No, I'm not talking about with your statements. I'm talking about with the realization of your praise. What does your life reflect? Our lives should be all the time praising and glorifying God. That's why we should be different when the tough times come, that we're looking one place, not a bunch of places. You can try to say, well, that's not how God designed us. God helps those who help themselves. Well, actually, every time anyone's ever tried to help themselves in the scriptures, it never ends up well. If you just want to check that out. When we try to come to our own conclusions, God is not praised. When we're praised, we're robbing God. When we're robbing God, here's what we're robbing: people of seeing his way and the health of his salvation. What is our motivation? It's not because Brother Ron says, oh, we should sing out. It's not because we have a song leader leading us. It's not because, oh, this touches my heart. That song was so beautiful. No. This is all about praising him. When we do anything, when there's any positive movement in our life, it is all God. You are not a godly person because you did it on your own. If you wouldn't have had the Holy Spirit, there would be no godliness. If there was no word of God, there'd be no understanding. Therefore, why would you judge someone else? You didn't make it there on your own. Why should they? See how praise should be offered and then how we respond. One of my favorite things to hear, because I know I've said it, and I've learned not to because it's a lie. I knew that was going to happen. You did, huh? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, your car blowing up because the check engine light was on. And those do mean things. And it is okay to look at people's fruit and go, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. But to say these words, I knew that was going to happen, is to praise yourself. Because the only person who really knew everything that was going to happen was God. So you might be able to say this, you know, I'm just thankful God knew what was going to happen. And it could have been a lot worse, but God knew exactly what he was doing. Instead of standing around talking to somebody about it for 10 minutes and three people walk by that you don't know, and now suddenly you're talking about somebody in the church. Where does the praise go there? Where does it go? If your personal life reflects how you're praising God, what does it look like? When you come to church, what is your desire? To lift up God? To praise Him? Worship Him? Is your ultimate heart that all the earth would come to the realization that there's only God and there's no alternative? That's what praise is about. God blesses us, and when we praise Him properly, people should see only Him. What do people see in you? It's a legitimate question. Because if praise is designed specifically to draw attention to God, then what does your praise specifically draw attention to? Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around.